guys, I'm Heather, and I'm the oldest. She's the emotional one.
Is it Bruce Dickinson?
Man, why, you haven't even read the list. You're like, Heather.
Hey, guys, I'm Ben. I'm the middle child.
And he's the practical one.
What I need you to understand is that you have lost all credibility when we get to the cutting stage.
Why?
Kenny Chesney was your second pick.
I'm Beth, and I'm the baby.
She's also the swing vote.
My picks are great. And if you don't believe it, just ask me. I won't argue with you because I'm mature.
Together, we make the Music List Podcast. And we want to welcome everyone to another episode of The Music List. My name is Ben. With me are my sisters, Heather and Beth, and we are siblings that argue while making music lists. That's the shtick. That's what we do. Before we go any further, we want to ask that if you like the content that you hear in this episode, to please find us on social media, share. We are on Instagram. We are on Facebook. We are on X. And I think this is the first time in history that I remembered to call it X. And it seems, are we on anything else? Is there anything else?
YouTube.
The YouTubes. We're on the YouTubes. That's true. When YouTube keeps trying to block our stuff because copyright violations or whatever. But we fight them without lawyers. That's how we do that. So, but yeah, share. Tell people about us. If you like the content. If you don't like the content, don't tell them we're not good. Thank you. Just forget about it. So, hey, how are you guys doing? I figure this is the one that y'all have kind of been itching to do for a while. Y'all are both female singers. Y'all really, really like the female rockers. And so our episode today is about, and this is in honor of Heather's birthday.
How many birthdays have you had?
Shut up.
In honor of Heather's 50th birthday.
Dang.
We are doing in the last 50 years, the best female, the best female rock vocalist in Heather's lifetime,
oh
basically, is what we're doing.
Yeah.
The disrespect.
That's what we're doing. And I figure that you two, especially, this is one that you guys have probably been having on in the back of your mind, wanting to knock this episode and yeah. get rolling on it.
I have strong feelings.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
Yeah, I'm excited. I don't know if I have strong feelings about necessarily the order. That might change when we get there. But I definitely have a few that I'm thinking, okay, we got to get these folks in the top five. But there might be somebody that I'm not thinking of. We'll see if somebody surprises me.
One of the things I want to talk about after we do our list and we go through the people that were on our big list but didn't make the draft, you know. There were some people that I had originally thought, these women are going to be on my list. And then they ended up not being in the top nine for me because we define this as the best vocalist. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There are some legends,
all right.
Legends, extremely influential people that did not make my top nine because as a vocalist, I felt like they weren't as strong as the nine on my list. But, right. I mean, legends.
Oh, there's yeah. one that is there's, one of my absolute favorite artists ever. And is like made like eight or nine on my list. And it pained me, but I really tried to keep the vocals and the talent in mind, not just the rock star aspect of it. Because there are some people that are absolute rock stars.
Yeah, it's a different discussion than iconic status.
Yeah.
It's best.
Right, right.
And sometimes we have... In these discussions, been like, you know, it's the best. It's not most iconic, or it's the most iconic. Right. It's not the best. So hopefully we're all on the same wavelength with that today.
And so I would like to remember this conversation because I would like to talk about maybe some people that didn't make the list but are like iconic figures. So part of it. Yeah. So people will understand why, like, we don't just, like, didn't ignore this person.
Right.
But why they didn't get on the list.
I and bet it, we're talking there's, about there's the, some same of the same people.
Some probably of the same people, so. Yeah.
We'll see when we get to the big list. So, again, we're talking about vocal talent in the rock genre. Mm-hmm. And we've done the R&B women before, and here's another. I did not feel like the bullpen was as deep with rock stars as it was in the R&B. How did you guys, did y'all kind of run across the same deal? I mean, like I feel like when we did, have we done rock, male vocalist at all?
I don't think so. We did front men, but we haven't done vocalists.
Mm-hmm. Right. I feel like that would be deeper. I feel like maybe it would be switched with the R&B. I feel like maybe male vocal, and then we have done male R&B, and there's some really good, but it's just, one thing is men have dominated rock and roll in a way that men did not dominate R&B. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah. And right. I think especially more recently, since rock is not necessarily as mainstream as it used to be.
Good point.
But a lot of the women, a lot of the really great rock bands right now are fronted by women.
Yeah.
And a lot of the ones that are really popular right now are.
Yeah. And the 80s and 90s were, the radio anyway, mainstream was so dominated by these female R&B singers, Whitney, Mariah, right. you know, all of this, and pop. You know, so it's a man's world in rock, or it was from 74 to certainly the end of the 2000s, I would say.
Yeah, because if you think about the that rock star persona
there was a lot more misogyny in rock and roll than there was in R&B, probably.
And so now, because a lot of R&B is like appreciative from a male singing standpoint is. Appreciative of your woman and like, you know, this is the ideal woman and that's what she is to me and describing her. Well, in rock and roll, it was you're a body, you know, essentially to say it.
Cherry pie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we talked about the rock star persona that like Robert Plant, where like he was kind of that guy that became the prototype. And I mean, if you look at the way that they acted, there's really not a lot of space for women to be appreciated or respected as equals in that space. Like and that's not to be like woke or whatever. That's just the truth of when you view
the lyrics, other people that way. The lyrics in their songs bear that out.
Well, and up until
the 80s was awful.
Terrible. And up until the 80s, the females who were able to break in were, although they were amazing vocalists and, you know, beautiful, strong women in their own right, they were strong women. They had to be, you know, they had to really be tough to make it and to be respected in that world, especially like in the 70s and then into the 80s and the 2000s, especially, you start to see people appreciate. But even now, if a female, you know, fronts a rock band, they're still.
You're facing all kinds.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm going to call it out. Cover Band Central on Facebook.
Oh, man.
The men on there, y'all are the worst. The worst. Like, anytime, like, a woman asks a question, the responses, the comments, it's like, wow, I wish I were not here reading this because you really have hacked me off. Or somebody will ask a question about, you know, what are good songs for the woman in my group to sing or whatever. And just the responses are so disrespectful.
And God forbid a woman try to sing a song that was originally recorded by a man.
Bro, I'm sorry that you don't know any talented women, clearly. Like, or that you don't recognize it because you're so involved with yourself. Man. But anyway, that group on Facebook, if you're on that group.
They're probably not listening to us.
Probably not. No. And they wouldn't care about our opinion.
That's true.
They might now. Yeah. So the draft order, This was a... And in case anybody's wondering at home, I have a random generator website that's actually made for fantasy football. And I plug in Heather, Ben, and Beth, and then it just pops out random orders. I draft first, Beth drafts second, Heather drafts third.
Could I not get a better draft order? It's my
first. You will in the second round, because in the second round, you'll draft first. Mm-hmm. And then I'll draft last in round two. And then I'll draft first in round three, and you'll draft last.
Yeah.
You get the last pick for your birthday episode.
Great.
Happy birthday, by the way.
Thanks. The last will be first, and the first will be first. The first will be first.
So let's get started here. Number one pick, and I feel like it's a little bit of a cop-out, but she's really good. And it's Ann Wilson.
Yeah, that's the correct pick.
She is really good. Oh, good song too. So it's AVN, I saw you again today. I had to turn my heart away. Smile like the sun, kisses forever. And tales it never fails. You lie solo in the weeds.
So Ann Wilson was lead singer for Heart, and we oftentimes talk about great debut albums. Dreamboat Annie is a pretty daggum good debut album. She is just a powerhouse singer, and I wanted, you know, Crazy on You is another one that I really like, obviously, from her, and not many episodes back, we used Crazy on You, so I wanted to use a different song for some variety. And but she kind of shows a little bit more vocal range in Crazy on You, because she kind of has this, she starts off with this real sweet kind of voice tone to her. She's just going all out from the very beginning on Barracuda. I mean, it's just, this is just a powerhouse deal. Interesting thing is that, and I did not know this, I don't know why. I mean, it makes sense. This is considered to be the first hard rock band that was fronted by a woman. And so you talk about breaking down doors. You talk about kind of leading into places that other people had not been before. Janis Joplin, obviously not hard rock, but, you know, we had had some major, major female rock stars. Mm-hmm. But hard rock, I guess, really gets started probably in the mid to late 70s is probably when hard rock really, when you start to get into the Led Zeppelins and the Deep Purples and, you know, Steppenwolf-ish was kind of hard rock in their own ways, Black Sabbath, et cetera. But, you know, this was kind of a new territory for women to break into, singing songs like this. And what's interesting is a lot of it, we talk about the misogyny in a lot of hard rock and metal. A lot of heart songs kind of put men as a piece of meat, you know, in a lot of ways, you know, as objects. And if you have not seen, I'll just put this out there, if you have not seen her live rendition of Stairway to Heaven, she makes Robert Plant cry.
Yeah.
That's how good she is.
Yeah.
Because you think about how good Robert Plant is.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And she did his song so well that, and it was not tears of they've ruined our song.
No.
You know, it was how many people could really do that song justice? Very small amount of people.
Right.
And certainly she was able to do it.
She does a pretty amazing Black Dog too.
And so, I mean, her power. And I really like, even though hard rock is not necessarily known as a genre that allows people to emote in it, in that genre, it's not a big part of that genre. I feel like she can do that. I feel like she can tell a story by using her different tones, different pitch, or different volumes, different timbres in her voice. And in hard rock, that's really hard to do. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I feel like she has a lot of versatility that a lot of hard rock singers, male or female, either one, don't really have.
Yeah.
And so that's why, overall package, I have her down as my number one pick.
Yeah. Go ahead.
She's my number one. I mean, always. But she has soul. Like her vocals on like Dog and Butterfly and Dreamboat Annie. It's very her soft tones, her are so beautiful, and she moves up seamlessly into that upper register, and she has so much power. Like, she doesn't hardly use her head voice much at all. She doesn't use a falsetto really hardly ever. She just jumps up there, and she has so much raw power. And the thing is, she's 73 years old, and I saw her 4 years ago. It was right before COVID. And she still does not change the key. She's still singing all of these songs in the same original key. No Pro Tools, no nothing. She's phenomenal. I mean, for sheer power, you're going to have a hard time beating her.
Yeah, and I think it says a lot that, you know, we're in awe of her. And rock, a lot of the time is, and a lot of people that I have on my list are people who have that grit and that rasp. Mm-hmm. Well, her voice is clear.
Clear as bell.
And there's a lot, even in the Barracuda clip that we just heard, there's a lot of nuance vocally. Mm-hmm. Her sliding from, like, she's wailing and then sliding into, like, a whisper, really, like, gentle tone. And then she can go, she has good low end. Mm-hmm. I mean, just all around, she is a phenomenal vocalist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My favorite.
Well, all right. Beth gets the next pick.
Super. So my first pick of the first round, my only pick of the first round.
As it turns out.
That's how that works. Is the queen of rock and roll herself, Tina Turner. Got that sweet sax solo after that. So Tina Turner, 12 Grammy Awards, the Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award, 3 Grammy Hall of Fame inductions, and she's been inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame twice. A 2005 recipient of Kennedy Center Honors and the Woman of the Year Award. Rolling Stone has said she's one of the 100 greatest artists of all time and one of the 100 greatest singers of all time. She shares the record for most Grammy wins for female rock vocal performance. I didn't write down who with because I'm not talking about them. I don't remember. she's the only female artist to win a Grammy in pop, rock, and R&B. Number 2 on VH1's 100 Greatest Women of Rock and Roll. So she's known for that, her like swagger, sensuality, gravelly vocals, this energy that's just off the charts. It's said that she has a 5-octave range. I haven't, you know, I never sat down with Heather with the piano and tested that. It seems a lot.
That does maybe seem 4. Like a lot, yeah.
Although
her low end though
is, yeah. And which it was hard. It's hard with Tina Turner because she just kind of effortlessly does these vocals throughout all her songs. Like, and so it's almost like you have to hear a song in its entirety to really appreciate the range of what she can do. Mm-hmm. So it was difficult to find a small clip. But so although she's, you know, known for her raw and raspy vocal, she's able to preserve her voice into her 70s, which is impressive because, like, you know, somebody like Ann Wilson, she sings with clarity. She's not putting a lot. I mean, her, what she's doing is difficult and it stretches your voice, but it's not damaging. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of the time when you hear people with that rasp or that gravel, it's not healthy. And so for her to be able to continue to sing with strength in that late into her life is impressive. She's a versatile vocalist, pop, rock, adult, contemporary, blues, soul, country. And she's comfortable in her lower range. Her mid range is thick and round. It has a lot of warmth, but she can also belt and scream. Mm-hmm. She has a highly expressive voice that conveys a wide range of emotions. Just, you could hear the emotion in that clip, you know, of that desperation of how much, like, I'm overcome with emotion, but she's still in control of her vocal. So she delivers powerful rock anthems and soulful ballads with equal intensity. And one might say she's simply the best. Oh. Oh.
I do love her.
She's great.
And she's one of those singers that she's very difficult to emulate because although, I mean, I'm not saying that she's pitchy, but the way she falls off of notes or mm-hmm. goes up to notes, she doesn't just hit them. She either hits them from the bottom or she hits them from the top, and she doesn't, she'll slide into them. And if you try, if you can't do that, you shouldn't even really try to sound like her because you're going to sound
if you fall short stupid, even a little bit, you sound really lame.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, because she just has that soul.
And it's natural.
Yeah, and you know, kind of like Janis Joplin's out of our time frame, so I feel like we can talk about her. Right. But, like, like, as a vocalist, underwhelming.
Yeah.
You know, but as a rock star and, you know, somebody who could just deliver a rock vocal and just have that raw, you know, that it's kind of that she's much more on pitch than Janis Joplin ever was. But I don't know. It's just that in you can't really put your finger on it.
That X factor thing. Yeah.
And she's also somebody that's really hard to kind of pin down into a genre.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because she can do it all.
Because she's rock and roll, sure. She's R&B, sure.
Yeah. She's kind of like
she's
Prince.
Soul. Yeah. Sure.
I knew that on purpose.
I didn't want to be the one to say it.
Still a sore spot, Jimmy.
Who voted to not put Prince in?
I don't remember.
At this point, I don't remember.
Both of you. I remember.
That was a rhetorical question.
Yeah, that's right. Because I only needed one more vote to get Prince into the top five.
Well, we don't live in the past here.
That's right.
We forge ahead.
No, but we do like to talk about consistency, don't we?
Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
We'll remember that conversation.
Okay.
Is it my turn?
It is, in fact, the birthday girl's first round pick.
Okay. So, I mean, full disclosure, my first pick was Ann Wilson, but my second pick was Pat Benatar. My mind, what are you trying to do to my head? Platinum albums, 5 platinum, 15 top 40 singles. In Canada, she has had 8 straight platinum albums, sold over 35 million albums worldwide, 4 Grammys, and inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in November of 2022 alongside Dolly. Her debut in the Heat of the Night in 1979 gave us Heartbreaker. So when we talk about...
I like that.
Oh, yeah. So when you talk about, you know, pretty stellar debut singles, Heartbreaker is one of my favorite female rock vocals, period. It's so much fun to sing. It's so much fun to listen to. She's just all over the place. She's a little different in her approach, in her tone. But I feel like she owns her clarity. And she's made it a part of her sound. She was a theater kid. She trained, classically trained as a coloratura soprano. She was going to attend Juilliard. But she was singing in a nightclub, and she met her first husband, who was in the Army. And she was doing jingles for Pepsi and stuff like that. And she was discovered and got a recording contract. So her theater dreams shifted. But you can hear that classical training in her tone, in her range, in her control, how she can introduce grit when she wants to. She seems to be very purposeful about where she puts that rasp in there. Heartbreaker, I think, shows her range. Songs like You Better Run and Hell Is for Children, which is not literally saying Hell Is for Children. It's about child abuse. Where she introduces that grit. Songs like We Belong. She has the power, and then she can flip up into that falsetto, into that really pretty tone, but it still has that rock sensibility to it. And she is aided a lot in her sound, I think, is complemented by her husband, Neil Giraldo's playing. So, you know, they've kind of been together throughout their whole career. And so his guitar playing, I think, has shaped her vocals a lot. And so they've kind of ridden this wave together, and it's really cool to see. She has a cover of Helter Skelter that is chef's kiss good. It's so good. I really like, as a vocal educator, I love to see that you can have the rock sensibility and you can build a rock sound and have a rock attitude, but still use those classically trained techniques she just has really good technique. As far as being a vocalist, you can really see where the training has paid off for her. And she has adapted that. Where Tina Turner's is kind of wild and free and just kind of, it's more of an attitude and a feel. Hers seems more, you know, her technique is more laser focused on, you know, her notes are, her pitch is just centered, and she can do all these vocal gymnastics, but it doesn't sound operatic. But it's close. I mean, it could easily turn into that. But she knows exactly. She has good sensibilities of when to introduce a little bit of, to push it a little bit and put that grit into her tone. So, Pat Benatar.
Solid pick. It's so solid. We're going to let you pick again.
Oh, oh yeah. Okay, so.
Round two. Ding, ding, ding.
Let's fast forward about 40 years, 30 years. My next pick is also a soprano with a 4-octave range. She easily has a 4-octave range. She's won Grammys for both pop and rock. She's got those whistle tones, but she can also belt. It's Hayley Williams.
All I wanted was you.
the opportunity yet to see her live in person, but I've seen live performances, of course, and she's that consistent. Every time I see her, she's little. She's this little tiny person with so much power. She reminds me of kind of if Ann Wilson and Pat Benatar had a baby. Like, she has a really clear tone, but
I know. Ben's over here trying to think of the biological possibilities, which are zero.
So, from the beginning, you know, herself with Paramore has, I mean, what are you doing? I can't even. You're distracting me. Anyway, so yeah. Of course that is all I wanted. But then also songs like Decode, mm-hmm. And then songs like The Only Exception, where she's down in her lower range and it's so gentle, and it's so pretty, mm-hmm. and she just has such control over her power. And she can go from these really sweet, clear vocals into these belts that if you tried to do that, you know, I don't know if like the excerpt we just heard was impressive to you, but try it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. And like she recently, they did a cover of Burning Down the House. Mm-hmm. It's so good.
Yeah.
It's so good. She just has, she has this funky side to her that she, you know, her rhythmic sensibilities are really good. She just knows where to put emphasis and when to push and when to back off. And she's young, but so I think that she's one of those female vocalists that has absolute staying power, and we'll probably be talking about her in another 30 years even, mm-hmm. you know, because she also has good sensibilities about staying with, you know, the changing face of rock, you know, the just how the sound is changing and evolving, and I think she's doing a really good job of evolving with that. But I think that it's pretty evident that she takes pretty good care of her voice. You can tell the people who really nurture and take care of their instrument. And I think she's one of those. I think she's stunning. And so she's my second pick, Hayley Williams.
Yeah. I have had the opportunity to see Paramore live, and it's incredible. It's one of the best shows. Aside from, I would say that she and Garth are the two best entertainers that I have ever seen. So she is consistently, for the whole show, she's running around, she's dancing, and she doesn't miss a note.
Right.
She is dead on. She doesn't get winded. You're not losing quality. It sounds like the record or better. She can do really good and interesting vocal runs. She'll come off a note or build up to a note in an interesting way. She has a lot of soul in her voice. Yeah, she is just like, she's an idol to me. She, like you are, I think maybe because of growing up with certain artists, or, you know, like certain artists being really popular maybe within a certain time of your life. Mm-hmm. Paramore was that for me. Yeah. Like Paramore came out, I don't know when their first album was, but, you know, I was in junior high or high school, mm-hmm. and they're one of those bands that they have the ability to evolve. And some of them, like their album After Laughter has a lot of funk in it. Mm-hmm. And then like they're, you know, they were solidly emo for a while.
Yeah.
But, you know, as they've grown, their sound has changed a little bit, but it's always, that's Paramore. And a lot of that is because of her mm-hmm. of her voice. There's no one, you could replace a lot of people in that band, and they yeah. have to some extent,
right.
Except for the core. But you replace her, it's not the same.
Right.
And it's never going to have that same energy. So, yeah, I'm Big fan. Big fan.
And, you know, we've talked about how rock and roll has been on a steady decline since grunge, really. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, and that's a conversation that a lot of people have had, but Paramore's a rock band.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, they are a rock band. I mean, they've got alternative elements for sure. But, I mean, if I was going to – and the problem is now we've gotten into, like, it's not enough to say somebody's rock and roll anymore, right?
Yeah, you just put that modifier.
They're synthetic rock, or they're synthetic rock. You know, or alternative rock, or pop rock, or you know, something. But Paramore, I mean, with the evolution, they've really never gotten out of what I would consider to be rock music, despite the change in the trajectory. And there's just not many bands out there that haven't given up the ghost. Like, I would say even Aerosmith in the late 90s went heavy pop, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I think Bon Jovi in the late 90s said, I'm going to get on this, on the pop deal, you know, too. So it's nice to see some of these bands that were formed afterwards say, you know what, we're going to start rock and we're going to finish rock, because, you know, it's like a slow death for rock and roll right now.
Yeah.
But it's you need some I say new bands. I mean, what are we talking about? I mean, since 2000s,
they're at least, well, they've been together for at least 20 years,
you know,
which is crazy.
Yeah.
But they've been together since junior high-ish. She's about my age.
And that, people don't realize, too, that for a band, that's a long time.
Right.
Yeah. Most bands don't make it 20 years.
No.
You know, so it's just, but in the grand scheme of rock and roll, the last 20 years is still relatively new.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, good stuff. All right, we're going to go to, I think Beth gets the second pick of the round.
All right, so we're going to go with another modern rock lady. this is Lizzie Hale of Hailstorm. Of a vocal. She has that rasp, that gravel, and we've seen her live as well, and she does that the whole show. Like, there are not really there, I think I heard maybe one song while we were there where she was not in that element of her voice pretty much the whole time. And songs like I Miss the Misery, like, that starts out of the gate, that's what that is, that level of her voice and that intensity. And singing in that range. I don't know how she does it.
I don't either.
Because by the end of the night, she wasn't tiring. Like, you can tell when you're listening to somebody and they are waning and they're getting tired, but she wasn't. I don't know if she can sustain it for many, many years to come. I don't know if she's doing, because there are ways to scream. There are ways to do that are healthy. A lot of metal singers do that. I don't know if this is what that is.
I don't either, because that rasp is not in her speaking voice at all.
No, but it's weird because, like, you could hear in that clip, right? So she's got that rasp up in her high register, but then she can come down and it's very clear. She can do that also. So she has the versatility. I'm not her, I'm not feeling what she's feeling.
Right.
So I don't know if she's tired by the end of the night. I don't know if it hurts. I don't know if she's doing that in a way that is sustainable. But I hope she is, because I really like her. So yeah. I hope she can continue on.
Yeah.
But, you know, she's got this crazy stamina, but she can also just sit at the piano and just sing. And she has a nice voice. It's not like, there are a lot of people who are like, that's all they can do. But she has the ability to just sit down and sing and have a pretty singing voice. Dynamic range, she can transition from that soft melodic singing to just full-on belting with ease. She's got a lot of agility in her voice. And is this just a straight-up rock and roll voice? You know, like we talked about Tina Turner, who is a lot of different things. There are a lot of elements of soul, of R&B, of, you know, of other genres in her voice. Lizzie Hale, not quite so much that. Even Hayley Williams has kind of a different, like there are some things you can pick up in there that are maybe like, oh, she could bend genres there. I don't know if that would sound the same with Lizzie Hale. She's just straight up rock. But she has power, unique tone, control, but she's also very expressive. So I'm very impressed by her, love her. If you're somebody who has young children, I would not listen to it in the car with them, because they're,
yeah,
like they're pretty raunchy. We were at the show and being like, you know, like Mark and I were looking at each other like, what if we see somebody from church? But then I'm also like, but if I see you here, who are you telling? Because you were there too.
All right.
But yeah, so not quite as family friendly or clean as something like Paramore, but very, very good.
And again, I mean, it's another relatively new band that is 100% rock and roll.
Yeah.
I mean, there is no doubt.
Yeah.
It's a great show. You could go just to watch their drummer, honestly. He's super fun to watch.
Yeah. All right. So I guess I get to pick the last pick of the second round. And do y'all know who Bryce Mitchell is? No. Great.
That
Let me
name
tell you.
Sounds familiar. I don't
Bryce
know.
Mitchell is a UFC fighter from Arkansas.
Oh yes, I know the Reebok guy.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. And you know how he says, every time I come out here, I'm gonna say Arkansas.
Yeah,
you know he's that guy. Well, I'm gonna say Arkansas.
Okay. I know who you're picking.
And I'm picking Amy Lee of Evanescence.
Yeah,
she's great.
Let's go Arkansas.
That's from the video. Yeah. That's the kind of theatrical. Yeah, that noise what? You're hearing what? Is not in the recording. It's in the video.
So let's go back to the debut albums.
Yeah.
Holy smokes.
Yeah.
You know, Fallen. I did not know this. 17 million copies sold. It debuted at number 7, but it became the 6th best-selling album of the 21st century.
Wow.
Okay.
Go Arkansas.
Go Arkansas.
Yeah.
But the reason that I picked Amy Lee is because I guess part of it is this is probably, I guess I was in college when this really popped, you know, it was early 2000s. And so, you know, I'm still listening, like, to new music. I mean, really invested in new music because I'm in college. What else am I going to do when I'm not going to class?
Hmm.
So we'll leave that there. But I mean, that's part of it. But the other two things that I really, really like in a vocal, and I brought this up when we've done best vocals with, you know, the R&B stuff. I love versatility, and I love being able to emote a song while singing it. And of all the people on my list, I think she's the most emotive. She can somehow portray that she's crying or that she's sobbing while she's singing it. But it's not, I mean, she's not, you know, sniffling or anything. I mean, it actually sounds
that wail,
sad.
Yeah.
I mean, like it's almost oppressive. The tone that she can make you feel like, I mean, she, I don't know if this is good or bad. She can make you feel depressed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she can.
You know, by the way that she, the way that she sings her songs, and just the ability to do so many different things. I mean, she can do the rasp. And what's interesting is she can do the rasp at almost every level, whether she's at her mid, her lows, or her highs, or she can be crystal clear depending on what she wants to do.
Mm-hmm. She can be raspy
when she's singing full voice, or she can be clear when she's singing mm-hmm. full voice. And I really think that she took a lot of time in the studio. I'm just guessing, thinking about how she wanted the listener to feel, and she used all the tools in her toolbox when she was recording mm-hmm. to make it that way. And you can tell that she's actually in she's harmonizing herself there. I mean, she multiple
yeah,
tracks
she does her own,
of her singing there.
Yeah.
But just from a versatility perspective and an emotional perspective, she probably would be number one on my list of being able to do all these different things and the ability to make people feel. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. I mean, she's got a pretty big range. Live in concert, says she goes from E3 to C6. What does that mean? Y'all are the music people.
I can't read music. Heather's going to have to answer this.
E3 would be
low end.
Yeah, low it would be lower than I can go for sure. And then a C6 is, I don't think C6 is.
So E's below the staff. Yeah. that's the lowest note. But if it's, you know what? Don't get me lying. And then a
C6 is like high C,
way above. Yeah, which is.
But, goodness. Like, here's the thing about her is that, like, she's another one, like, if you think that it's, you know, even attainable, mm-hmm. try with her on a song like Nobody's Fool,
right.
Or Going Under.
Or Everybody, Going Under.
Going Under is
not full. Nobody's Fool, Everybody's no, Fool.
Everybody's
Fool. Nobody's Fool.
Yes, everybody's Fool.
But, like, yeah, Going Under, mm-hmm. like. And her, what appears to be her sweet spot is in a lot of people, including mine, in my break. So she can just hang out in this range that is, you can't, like, another half step and you're probably going to have to flip over to your falsetto. Any lower, it wouldn't have the power that you need to belt it. So the fact that she can belt at that place in her range is so impressive. And then she, like, songs like Hello, when she's mm-hmm. way down there in her low end, and talk about making you feel.
I mean, well, she
sad.
Well, and or like, and some of it is it's kind of gothy rock.
Yeah, it is.
In a lot of ways.
There are some effects.
But there is a...
Yeah.
I mean, if she's not making you sad, especially in those, when she, I mean, it's like she could, it's like she just fills up her chest. It's like,
she has spooky. A very round,
I mean, she
a
can,
very
it,
round,
it can be very,
tone, yeah.
It can be
yeah.
very haunting, especially those lower registers.
And that you can tell is a very intentional choice.
Yes.
Yes. On songs like My Immortal.
Yeah.
Like where she
yeah.
starts out really intimate and low. And even in Bring Me to Life, you know, she starts out with that kind of sweet, airy. Mm-hmm. But it's hard to sing that too, even though she's not belting. Like her tone is just really interesting. It's kind of throaty.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's like it's really interesting. And her breath control.
Yeah.
Ma'am can hold on to notes yeah. until yeah. the Lord comes back. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love, like, she and Lizzie Hale have done some stuff. Like, they did Break In together.
They're going on tour together.
Shut up.
I'm not playing. But it's in, like, Canada. I just saw it the other day. It's Hailstorm, Evanescence, and The Warning, who I've talked about on this show, the three sisters from Mexico.
Yeah.
They're freaking yeah. good. Like, if you, I don't know if we have any Canadian listeners, but if you are... If you are able to go to that show, or if you're American and
call
you
us.
Have the ability to travel to Canada, get that experience because that is going to be an incredible show.
One thing I hear in Amy Lee and this and these bands probably should have made it to my list, but because bands like Nightwish, In This Moment, a lot The Gathering, a lot of these European, you know, Europeans. They
still rock.
They understand
yeah.
the importance of women in rock, and they embrace mm-hmm. that female sound. You can tell that there has to be an influence on those, on Amy Lee,
yeah.
from those bands. You know, and I mean, you could probably do another whole podcast on female rockers from.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Across the pond, but anyway.
To that, interesting segue.
Okay.
Because I get the first pick of the third round, correct?
Yep.
And I happen to have somebody from across the pond.
Uh-oh, who is it?
How do you guys, remember our Thanksgiving Day episode?
The Cranberries. Oh, yeah.
This is interesting.
Dolores O'Riordan. Part of this is because my wife really loves the Cranberries. But also, I thought for the first time in the history of the Musicalist podcast, we needed somebody that could yodel.
Let me tell
and
you.
You know, she's got that signature. I mean, I've tried to do it.
It's so
hard. I've not been successful.
Well, let me tell you. We do it in the band that I'm in, and I think you do it in the band. You can't just come out straight out the gate and just there is a very specific way that you have to position your mouth, your tongue, the roof of your mouth. I mean, for that to work, that is not just that is a technique that for it to be consistent, that is not easy. Mm-hmm.
And,
it's not easy.
And so you got to remember, too, that this was really the 90s alternative era, alternative rock. Oh, yeah. And it was a time when alternative rock was really dominated by males.
Yeah.
Very much dominated by males. And so this was kind of a different deal. And there was a lot of... I also respect that they took on some major issues. I mean, like, Zombie is about the ongoing wars between Ireland and England, you know, over liberating the entire island of Ireland, basically. But I also love that there is no doubt who sings the song. I mean, anything that she sings, she has such a distinctive voice.
Yeah.
You know, like some of these that we've named powerhouses, they're similar in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
True. You know, and so kind of parsing them out and figuring out who's going to be on the list and who's not going to be on the list can be difficult because they're very good, but they also have a lot of the same characteristics. She is not the powerhouse that some of these people have. And she probably doesn't have the range that a lot of these people have. But what she does have is that unique vocal quality that makes her separate from everyone else. Yeah. Because it's kind of like Willie Nelson, in a way. Now, in that, she's a much better vocalist than Willie Nelson. But you know Willie's voice. Yeah. Or Johnny Cash. You know it's Johnny Cash. And so, like, you know when it's a Cranberry song.
Yeah.
Because her voice is so distinctive. And really, she is the defining factor in the Cranberries.
Oh, 1,000,000%.
I mean, like...
1,000,000%.
They're a pretty average band without her.
Yeah.
She is the thing that makes them...
Yeah.
Huge.
Had they already stopped making music together before she died?
I think maybe.
Because she, I mean, it wasn't really that long ago that she died.
It wasn't that long ago, no.
2018. Let's see.
Oh, I love Linger so much.
Oh, Linger
is great.
I know.
I love that song.
No, they were active. Mm. It says they were active through 2019.
And like,
your point, they did not last long after she passed.
I mean, and in that time period, you know, you did have other females on the scene, but they, you know, okay, like Shirley Manson from Garbage, who I also love.
Yeah.
But Courtney Love.
Yeah.
You know, they did not have that distinct.
Not impactful vocalist.
You know.
I mean, and then you had like Gwen Stefani, with no doubt, but that's more ska maybe than...
In some ways,
Than alternative, but...
I'm going to keep my thoughts about Gwen Stefani's vocals to myself.
Oh, wow. We're doing female vocals.
Okay, I'll just tell you, she made me hate Christmas.
Made you hate Christmas?
Cheer for the Elves, I think is the
Give
song.
Give a Cheer for the Elves song.
It's, don't know it.
It's a lot. Okay. Stick around. Everybody stick around for the Christmas episodes.
Oh, jeez. I mean, like.
It's bad. I mean, I could try to imitate it, but I don't.
Making toys, making things. And just like that, it's just like, ugh, Christmas.
I don't know all the words. I can't understand all the words.
It's horrible.
But it's
so like
it's
that
a lot.
One
it's
song.
Offensive.
So like.
Yeah.
That one song has ruined
the
doubt
whole holiday.
Forever.
No doubt. Like, it's really, when she went off on her own.
Yes.
And then she did, like,
because, I mean,
she should have stayed in No Doubt.
I will say
that. Don't get me wrong, I love No Doubt.
Yeah.
Okay.
I enjoy love No Doubt. I don't like her solo stuff a whole lot. The banana song, what's that one?
Hollaback Girl.
Hollaback Girl. Yeah. Okay, so that was in a time
Ain't
where
no
I was
Hollaback
like,
Girl.
I was in like high school, junior high, and I was like, okay, this is like, that's nostalgic for me. But when she did the Fiddler on the Roof, when she took
that song
and sampled it, if I was a rich girl, stop. Full stop, ma'am.
And then because you go back to songs like Just a Girl or Hella
Great
Good.
Great songs.
Oh, and then
she went, it was when she went pop was the problem.
I don't know, but
it was like, It seemed inauthentic, but now I can't see.
We're talking
her.
About good singers, but, anyway.
Yeah. I mean, no, I didn't have. I like No Doubt because that was probably that's when I was in school.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I loved
that's No what Doubt. I mean. Was underneath good. It all, Spiderwebs.
Spiderwebs. The and whole I, Rock Steady album.
Yeah,
is
and I
amazing.
Think maybe that's the thing. She seemed so cool in No Doubt, and she had this attitude and energy. Wow, it's the weather is. Hey, if you haven't listened to our weather songs episode, we just released that one a couple weeks ago. But we're having some weather events as we record. But like, she was so cool in No Doubt, and she had this swagger of like, I am what I am, and I don't really care what you think, and I'm gonna be me. I'm gonna be
sure
all out. And then when she transitioned to like a pop artist, and she started like designing her clothesline and stuff like that, it was almost like a completely different person. And it just like it just didn't seem to fit for me. I didn't know how to process that.
Well, and remember that, you know, I guess No Doubt's height of popularity was probably the mid-90s, 95, 96, 97, somewhere in there. And so like we're still going through this grunge era, alternative era where things are kind of, you know, the Smashing Pumpkins didn't just lift you up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like No Doubt, on the other hand, and we're starting to get into. There are some bands coming along that are a little bit more upbeat, you know, Sugar Ray and 311, that kind of stuff. I mean, they're kind of happy, almost like what the Beach Boys were before. You know, we're going to have fun, and No Doubt, the videos were bright, you know, and she dressed in polka dotted dresses and. And she's cute, No Doubt.
Oh, whoa.
That was on accident. Wow. That was on accident. That was on accident. But, you know, so it was just kind of different. I think Alternative had us feeling so bad about ourselves for so long. And then we had some fun songs to say, oh, life's not all bad.
Okay.
Until she makes you hate Christmas.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go listen to that, I guess.
Listen.
Don't
say I didn't warn you, because you are your Father Christmas over there, so I don't want to ruin it for you, but.
It's his villain origin story.
Yeah, it is.
All right, Beth.
Okay. So my last pick, again, is relatively new, and I'm glad to get the opportunity to speak on her. It says Dorothy Martin from the band Dorothy. Obviously, she has a lot of power, but there's also a bluesy element to their rock. She has a lot of control. She can do some vocal runs, but in a very strong way. LA Weekly says, I'm going to curse. Sorry. Says she's such a badass, like a revved up Adele, teetering on the brink of chaos. So, like, there's a rawness of her voice that is reminiscent of some, like, rock greats, like, even males. You know, like, when you think about somebody like Axl Rose, who is just very, very good and has this crazy range, and she does, too. That was not – there's not really good sampling of, like, the range in a small clip for her that I really know. But somebody like him who's, like, out of the gate, you're like, man – that dude's a good singer. And he has that quality of it's just natural to him to just sing in this way. It's kind of like that for her. Whereas, like, Lizzie Hale, that's put on. Mm-hmm. And you can tell that it's, like, this is a character almost. But, like, with Dorothy, it almost seems like this is just who I am. I am gritty, and her songs are great. The album Gifts from the Holy Ghost is, it just came out, I don't know, a year or two ago. That's a great, great album. Highly recommend going to listen to it. But they have other songs that from their previous stuff that's not quite as, I don't want to say polished, but it's just kind of a different style. Their style, their sound has kind of changed a little bit, but her voice is just so good. In 2016, they opened for Hailstorm, so you know there's some respect there. So if Lizzie Hale thinks that you're good enough to open for them, then I'm like, okay, I get it. Yeah, so there's not, they haven't had a super long career, and they're not, haven't won a lot of awards or anything like that, but I think that, again, they're one of those really current rock bands that are really strong and keeping just hard rock and just straight up rock and roll active.
Yeah.
And I'm, as a female singer, it's really cool to see that these women are able to front these bands, whereas, like, I feel like a lot of the male fronted rock bands right now, I kind of feel like a lot of them are not as impactful, and maybe that's because I relate more to a woman singer, but I like the trajectory of rock and roll with women really taking a lead.
Yeah. She kind of sounds like Grace Potter.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
Who I love.
And yeah, and she's, Dorothy's also somebody who can, there's a song called, I don't know, it seems, I don't remember what it's called, but it's on that album that I'm thinking of. And it's also like, it's just, it's more of a softer song. And so it's not like she's somebody who is just all the time one note. She's got some versatility to her as well.
Cool.
Right. And I believe
the birthday girl
gets the last pick.
Okay. My last pick is one of the old school greats, Grace Slick.
Oh.
So she has a very distinctive style, and it was very influential at the time. They came out, I think, in 67 during that psychedelic, you know, rock era, the Summer of Love. And Janis Joplin was a close contemporary of hers, and they, she almost didn't make my list. And then when I listened to her some more, and when I was trying to figure out where other people might fit on my list, taking a deeper listen to the amount of power that she has, and she's one of those that, you know, we were talking about, I don't know, there's really no other word for it, ballsy.
Yeah.
You know? She
gutsy would have been
okay, well, whatever. But
well,
No, yeah, not really.
It doesn't really. Because doesn't have the same.
To compete and to, you know, stay in there in that boys' club, you know, for her to walk up and have the audacity that she had. And she was a personality. She was a force, you know. She is number 20 on VH1's 100 Greatest Women of Rock and Roll. She was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1996. Her voice is really unusual. It's not raspy, but it's not pretty. It's a mix of power and lends itself to the psychedelic quality of the music. I mean, White Rabbit, that's a live performance. The way that her breath control, where she can sustain on the like studio recording of White Rabbit, there are some very long phrases.
Yeah.
And the fact that she, you know, she can phrase those the way she did, kind of an interesting thing. Between 1985 and 1999, she was the, and this speaks to me now, especially in the stage of my life, she was the oldest female vocalist on a Hot 100 chart-topping single. From, she held that position from 1985 to 1999. She beat out Tina Turner. Tina Turner was 44. And then at 46, she had a number one single with Nothing's Gonna Stop Us Now. Or no, We Built This City. And then she broke her record when they released We Built This City. So she was still the oldest female to have a chart-topping hit. And she held that until 99, until Cher comes along with Believe. And
ooh.
Yeah.
I like that one.
Yeah.
He said, yeah. And I'm like, oh, I like it.
There's just, there's something intangible. I mean, just something that I can't put my finger on that is so rock and roll about her voice. And it may be her attitude. I mean, she'll walk up there and she will flip you the bird a couple times over. And, you know, if you've ever seen Gimme Shelter, I highly recommend that. I mean, she's just so cool. And it's just that it factor that is hard to put my finger on, but she's a rock chick through and through, and so I wanted her to be mentioned.
So we picked a Jefferson Airplane song for, was it the Flower Power episode?
Yeah, it may have been Somebody to Love, or
did we pick it? I think you picked White Rabbit.
Maybe I think White
it
Rabbit.
Didn't make it. Yeah, or okay. Did it? I don't remember. We have talked about White Rabbit before.
Yeah,
I know.
I couldn't remember which.
But I which Somebody Jefferson to Airplane. Love is I really like that song. I prefer that one over White Rabbit. I know you have an affinity for that song.
I do.
For White Rabbit?
Yeah.
Oh, there's no song like it.
Nope. That's true. No.
And people love it.
Yeah.
It's so strange.
So, the song or the fact that people love it?
Yeah. So I guess we'll talk about the people on our list that didn't make it. And honestly, the only person on my list that didn't get drafted was Shirley Manson of Garbage. Yeah. That was the only one. So what about, who did y'all have on your list that didn't get drafted?
I'll tell you who didn't get drafted. I bet you're surprised. Stevie Nicks did not get drafted.
Oh, I'm not surprised on that. On this list, I'm not surprised.
And it, as much as it pained me.
Mm-hmm. Where was she on your list?
8. And number 9, and Grace Slick beat her out because, I mean, honestly, as far as vocalists go, I think her voice is stronger. Stevie Nicks is an amazing performer, and she is an amazing presence, and she is a absolute rock star legend. Not the best vocalist.
Definitely not.
You know, and I think Grace Slick is a stronger vocalist. And my number 9 was Chrissy Hynde from the Pretenders.
Yeah. I only had 2 people who did not get drafted, and I think one kind of is probably more considered a pop artist, but Pink is a great, great vocalist, and a lot of it really like her voice is a great rock voice. It's just that her music doesn't necessarily fall into the rock genre. But man, when she came out with like get this party started or something like that, I was like, that chick is freaking cool.
Yeah.
And like Just Like a Pill, like
Oh God.
I mean that good. Really, that's kind of a
that's a rock song,
you know?
It's very Alanis.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And so I remember just growing up and thinking like that's the person I want to be. Like, you know, there's and she talks about in that song, like being compared to Britney and stuff like that. Cause they were around at the same time. And it's like, for me as who I was, that's not who I, you know, I'm not going to be the Britney kind of girl. I loved Britney Spears, but I couldn't really relate to her. Mm-hmm. But somebody like Pink, who was a little bit of an outsider, a little bit edgy, like not that I was that edgy, but you know, like that person who's not the it girl. Mm-hmm. She was, and her voice, like she could sing better than any of the rest of them, except maybe not Christina. Well, they're apples and oranges. Like Christina is an amazing singer. Definitely better than Britney. But, and then my last one who did not get drafted was another kind of all genres lady, Linda Ronstadt.
Oh, yeah. She's one that she's hard to put in a hole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So let's go back to the question that I had posed before. Somebody that did not make anybody's list. There's two that, like, if you were going to name the greatest female rockers of the last 50 years, Patti Smith's got to be on the list. If you're doing the great, I mean, when you talk about her influence.
Her influence, but she's terrible.
Well, that's why she's not on the list. Because of, you know. Yeah. And then Debbie Harry.
She made my long list, and she ended up getting cut.
And she's not bad. She's just not one of the strongest.
She's not in this caliber class.
Yeah.
But, I mean, as far as number of hits, she beats a lot of these folks.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you were saying greatest.
Yeah.
As in success.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like Heart of Glass, Call Me. I mean, those are, I mean, there's some, I wouldn't call them bangers.
I would say they're Call Me is a banger.
One way or another.
Oh man. One way or another, I do not like
it. It is so bad.
Yeah. But man, it's catchy. It's catchy. A little jam.
Which one?
One way or another.
One way or another. But I really like Call Me.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, there was some, you know, and so the reason I want to bring that up is because some people will be like, how did this person not get on this? Remember, we were doing the best vocalist, not the greatest female rockers. If we were doing greatest female rockers,
we'll have to do another female rock icons sometime later.
Yeah.
That's a different list.
Iconic status is very different than best vocals.
Yeah.
By a lot, you know. I mean, that's like
Cher, an icon,
right?
Don't love her voice,
right?
Yeah,
right. Stevie Nicks,
icon.
Yeah,
not the best voice.
Yeah.
She can write a song though. She can write the heck out of a song, but that's also not the topic.
So we've got nine fantastic vocalists that made the list.
Yeah,
and they are.
Ben has drafted Ann Wilson of Heart, Amy Lee of Evanescence, and Dolores O'Riordan of the Cranberries. Heather drafted Pat Benatar, Haley Williams of Paramore, and Grace Slick of like 17 bands. She was in a bunch of stuff, right?
Yeah, they changed their name a bunch.
And I drafted Tina Turner, Lizzie Hale of Hailstorm, and Dorothy Martin of Dorothy.
So we have nine songs, and now we are in the round cutting from nine songs to five.
Working 9 to 5.
All right. So in this particular instance, I feel like because none of us had a lot of extra people that weren't drafted, maybe, just maybe, there will be some agreement on some of the people that need to move over. So let's start with Ann Wilson since she was the first pick. And Heather, you said she was your first overall pick. I just got to her first. Did you have her in your top five?
She was also my number one. Okay, so I feel like that's a foregone conclusion.
So she'll probably be number one
overall
at the end of the day. Yeah. Tina Turner.
I'm fine with moving her over.
I had her way up at the top.
She was like number three or something for me.
All right. The next pick was Pat Benatar. I had Pat Benatar in my top nine. She was number 9.
I had her at 8.
Put her in a holding cell. Can we do that? Can we create a holding cell?
What's that? It's Pat. You remember that Saturday Night Live?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, yes.
I do.
Anyway, that was an intrusive thought.
Yeah, I remember. So, yes, I remember. Saturday Night Live was funny back then.
They have some good stuff now.
But. Did y'all see the Beavis and Butthead one?
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Oh, I love when people break. I love it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
That was a great skit.
That'll be some weeks ago now.
Yeah.
So the next pick was Hayley Williams. Hayley Williams was number 7 on my list.
She was number 4 on my list.
What was she on your list?
Gosh. Four.
She was 4 on yours. She's probably going to make it over. Put her ahead of Pat Benatar, maybe.
What? In the whole.
And then Hayley. Amy Lee.
I love you, Hayley.
Amy Lee was number 3 on my list.
And she was my number 5.
Heather, where did you have Amy Lee?
5.
She was in all of our top 5s.
So I'll put her between Hayley and Pat.
That doesn't make sense.
Why?
She was in all of our top 5s.
But Hayley was both of our number 4s, and she was both of our number 5s. Amy
right,
was.
But what
she's below Hayley.
If she's in all of our top 5s, does it not stand to reason?
Oh, she was you didn't have Hayley.
I had Hayley Williams number 7.
Oh, well, why are you wrong?
I don't know. Let's
come. All right.
Keep her in the holding cell for a second. With Pat.
Oh, so now we're going to use her as a bargaining chip.
Yes.
That's what we're doing.
Next. Okay.
I got you. I understand. Lizzie Hale. She was 5 on mine.
6.
3.
Yeah.
She was 6 on yours, Heather?
Yes.
Holding cell, I guess. She's got.
Does she go above Amy or below Amy? Probably.
She's neck and neck.
All right. I'll put her with asterisks beside.
The next pick was, Dolores.
I didn't have her on my list.
I didn't have her on my list either.
Put her in the hole.
I don't think I will.
Yeah.
Y'all are going to go ahead and vote her out?
I think we have 3 spots left in the 3 people who are in the holding cell, 4. Yeah, I would put any of those people
before. I feel like we're going to cut Grace Slick, too.
So what about Dorothy Martin? I did not have Dorothy Martin.
I didn't have Dorothy.
I figured she would get cut. That went deep into my list.
However, I will say.
But I hope you discovered someone.
When we get the big list, we give our big list to each other and kind of all jumbled up so we don't know. And so I will say I was very impressed.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Yeah.
Started listening to her repertoire.
Yeah.
So, and then Grace Slick. Here's what I'm going to say about Grace Slick. I don't think she's going to make it. Either.
No,
but here's what
I'm totally fine with cutting her.
If her early Jefferson Airplane stuff had been done post 1974, I would probably not have as much a problem putting her in. I really like her pre 1974.
Yeah.
Stuff
yeah.
More than I like her post 19.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm
makes sense.
I'm fine with that. Yeah.
Okay. So here's where we are. And it's a good place to be. We have 3 spots left and 4 people left. So we just have to cut
we
one.
We have to cut one.
Of Hayley Williams, Amy Lee, Lizzie Hale, and Pat Benatar.
We just have to cut one, right?
Yeah. And we've already kind of put them in order when we put them in the holding cell. But that's the one you really care about, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I mean, okay, I'm going to. As far as accolades.
Yeah.
As far as chart topping hits. She's a freaking Hall of Famer. And I think she is very influential. I think you can hear her influence in singers like especially Hayley Williams and Amy Lee. I think she deserves to be on the list.
So what you're saying is if this had been the greatest female rocker, she should be on the list.
I think, no, I'm talking about this category, vocalist.
Because everything you just mentioned would be on an iconic status thing.
Well,
she had a bunch of
hits. She won all of those accolades because she's a freaking good vocalist. I think that her vocal style and her vocal ability should put her on the list.
Let's pretend that the four of them are on The Voice. And you don't know who they are.
Right.
Who are the three that you think they're going to hit the buzzer first? I think all four of them would hit the buzzer.
I think they're not going to hit the buzzer. And I love her for Lizzie.
Oh, I think they definitely
would. I think Lizzie is a great entertainer. I love her stuff, but we're talking about vocalists.
She may be the biggest powerhouse on the list.
No.
We're talking about rock vocals, not. And that does, like, that's not just best vocalist, period. We're talking about the best rock
vocalist. I understand that, but just because she, don't get me wrong, I love her, but I think as far as a better voice, better control, better talent, better technique, Pat Benatar deserves to be on the list. I don't care if you put her five, but I think she deserves to be on the list.
I feel like...
But they all deserve to be on the list.
Yeah.
I think she deserves... Well, I know, but they can't all fit on the list. So one of them has to go, and I don't think Pat is the one that needs to go.
To me, and this is... a pro of hers, right? Her classical training, her all of that. But I do think sometimes it does seem a little sterile. It does seem a little choral. It, like, when she...
But sometimes Lizzie's is flat out bad.
I wouldn't say it's bad.
Yes. Live, sometimes it's bad.
I did not experience that.
I've seen her live too. I've seen her twice.
Sure.
And
I'm not saying you haven't.
Sometimes
I'm saying
it's
I didn't
bad.
Experience.
Because
we're.
But what I'm hearing is that Amy Lee's going over.
I would think, if it's gonna be right. between,
I would say Amy and Haley should go over. Honestly, I think it comes down to, you know.
I'll concede that. Yeah. We can duke it out between Lizzie and Pat.
Oh, no.
That would mean Ben.
That means I'm going to be the...
Okay.
I'm going to be the...
And it's hard because their voices are apples and oranges.
Yeah, they are.
So it just depends on whether, I guess, you like apples or you like oranges.
And I like apples and oranges.
And I would like to make the argument, but I can't, that one of them can do, they can each do things that the other can't. So it's not like far and away. Like when you talk about somebody like Amy Lee, I think Amy Lee can do anything that Pat Benatar can do. I think, you know, I don't know that she can do anything that Lizzie Hale can do, but like because their voices are so different, mm-hmm. you know, I would like to be able to say, you know, influenced by Pat Benatar, yes, but student has surpassed the teacher. It's not, they're so different that you can't really make that argument. So it is difficult because they are very different. Ben?
I don't like being in this position, first of all.
You don't feel the... The rush of power.
It's my birthday.
Oh. No, ma'am. No, ma'am.
But I guess the question is going to be, when we talk about a vocalist, and you're talking about live,
and I've seen Pat Benatar live too.
How much is the live performance going to weigh against the studio performance? You know what I mean?
Well, I think it's important to take the live performances into account because you can go back and do so much fixing and producing and
yes, but you two especially
and the stamina.
You two especially know how easy it can be for the vocalist to not be able to hear a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. That does make a big difference.
So, and when you're talking about hard rock, which Hellstorm is hard rock bordering metal.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you could see where there would be a lot of instances where the monitors would not.
No, it would be a very rare occasion that she doesn't have her ears in or they're not working. I mean, they're at a level where that she's going to be able to hear 99% of the time.
But it is a possibility.
It's a possibility, but it's a possibility with anybody.
Yeah. But I mean.
Where did you have Pat Benatar on your list?
8.
I mean, I had her at 9.
Well,
and where?
It's unfortunate.
Where did you have?
I think that's wrong.
You had Lizzie Hale at 6.
Yeah, but I had Pat Benatar at 2.
Well, I understand that, but you understand that like the leap to go from 2 people having her in the top 5 and 1 having it 6 is not near the leap to that person in the top 5 is having one person having it in the top 5 and then 2 people having to go from. I mean,
I think it's an age thing.
This is like a closer back of the pack. closing at Oakland on the back.
I do.
Stretch.
I think it's an age thing.
I think it's hilarious that you are crying ageism as I have been the victim of it this whole freaking in the history of the show. Like,
but if it's ageism, how did Tina Turner?
I didn't say it was ageism. I just said I think that,
or if it's based on, you know, we're simply not old enough to enjoy Pat Benatar.
No, I'm just saying that I.
How did Tina Turner get in?
I'm just saying probably listened to Lizzie more than you've listened to Pat Benatar.
I wouldn't say that's true.
I don't know.
I'm just saying it's a possibility. I'm not crying ageism.
Oh my, ma'am,
Lord.
Man, you turn 50, you get feisty. She can say anything she wants now. I'm 50.
You're both number one.
Oh. Well, Ben, it's your choice.
It's your choice.
Obviously,
so,
you know where we stand.
Hmm. I mean, I'm going to pick Lizzie Hale. Just because, I mean, if you look at it on the terms of average, it's like 5.3.
The math.
If you go to the math. 8 plus 9 is 17 plus, what is it, 3? 20.
What are you even talking
20
about?
20 divided by 3 is
oh, my God, shut up. Anyway. Okay, so let's rank them.
All right. Our top 5, we have Ann Wilson, Tina Turner, Haley Williams, Amy Lee, Lizzie Hale. So all go Ann Wilson.
And then I had Tina Turner too, so I don't have a problem having Tina Turner too.
Where'd you have her?
3.
Oh, that's probably.
I would think she would be 2.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Okay. Here's where.
Now, I would bump Amy Lee up to 3.
I would not. I think Haley Williams is.
That's hard. They're different again.
I think Haley Williams could do everything Amy Lee does.
But the Amy Lee, what puts Amy Lee to me, what she does that nobody else at least has done as effectively as she does, which is emote with her voice.
Yeah.
Be able to make people sad. Bring in a feeling of hauntingness.
I'm going to point to songs like The Only Exception.
Decode.
And All I Wanted. And Misery Business. And I think that Haley does as good a job.
Yeah, emoting.
It's usually different emotions. It's much more of a energetic type feel than Amy Lee. Amy Lee stuff reads very goth.
It is very haunting. You know? And I think for that emotion, she does that better than Hayley Williams. But I think Hayley Williams can.
I think she has a better range.
But she can also like be the leader of the party. She can do angry. She can do happy. She can do. And I haven't really heard that from Amy Lee. I haven't heard the range of emotion.
Has done angry for sure.
Angry, but they don't do a lot of like up tempo stuff.
That's what I don't know if she can do.
Because they have hard stuff, but not up tempo.
Well, I mean, to be fair, it's goth rock.
True, but that's also the thing of Paramore having that variety of albums.
I really think this is an age thing. Beth, I think that's what we're dealing with here.
I was in the thick of both of them. They're both in my age wheelhouse. Thank goodness. For once, I feel this is a great episode for me. But if it's my vote, because one of them's Ben's, one of them's Heather's. So I had Hayley Williams ranked 4, Amy Lee 5, and I would stick with that. And I guess the way we had them originally, and Lizzie Hale at 5. Does that sound?
Yeah.
All right. We did it. We freaking did it, guys. You want to hear it?
Sorry, Pat. I tried.
I am. No, you know she doesn't perform Hit Me With Your Best Shot anymore? Oh, I see what you did there. She doesn't perform Hit Me With Your Best Shot anymore. For a kind of a lame reason, in my opinion. Yeah.
No. I wish I didn't have to perform Hit Me With Your Best Shot anymore.
Same, but people like it.
They do.
Yeah, it's because of like some stance on gun violence, but it's not about guns. I guess just because it says the word shot.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's very sensitive for a rocker, but whatever. I disagree.
She's always been issue oriented in her stuff though. So
yeah. All right. Our final ranking in honor of Heather.
Shut up.
The best female rock vocalists of the last 50 years, according to The Music List. Number 1, Ann Wilson of Heart. Number 2, Tina Turner. Number 3, Hayley Williams of Paramore. Number 4, Amy Lee of Evanescence. And 5, Lizzie Hale of Hailstorm.
And I do love you, Lizzie. I do.
I think she would flip you off. She does not
care.
She
probably would.
She does not care.
And we didn't even talk about Taylor Momsen. Dang.
Oh, she's a good one too. She is. But also, she didn't have quite the range, I think, of the rest of them. But good female vocalist.
Yeah. Cindy Lou Who.
All right. We want to thank everybody for listening to this birthday edition of...
Where I didn't get anything I wanted.
Music List.
Oh, you got number one that you wanted. True.
Well, I didn't get to pick her.
Oh, my goodness.
Anyway, we thank you for listening to the Music List podcast. Remember, you can find us on Instagram, Facebook, X. Mm-hmm. Did we say there was another one, or is there not another one?
The YouTubes.
The YouTubes. Right. And hey, like, subscribe, share. Send us to all your friends. And if you haven't listened to that banger of a Bee Gees episode, check that one out.
Yeah.
Thank you. We'll be back in a couple of weeks.
Ginger.
Oh, this girl's insane. Wait for it.
Yeah.
That's the same girl.
Thanks for joining us on the Music List podcast. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next episode. She almost had it.